His eyes narrowed. "You assume I'm a Muslim, don't you?" Before she could answer, Jamil stated, "My family's been Christian since the Middle Ages. That's one of the reasons my father left Lebanon."
"I see," said Coggins.
She debated telling him, then decided it would do no harm.
"I am a Muslim, you know. My grandfather was a Baptist, but he converted to the black Muslim religion when a prizefighter named Cassius Clay converted himself into Muhammad Ali."
She thought that if the situation weren't so desperately deadly, the stunned look on Jamil's face would have been hilarious. The Secretary of Defense leaned back in his plush swivel chair and eyed the Secretary of State closely. She seemed lost in thought, sitting in the big leather armchair, her eyes turned toward the windows, but obviously seeing something other than the view out there. "He lied to me," State was thinking. "Quang told me China had no intention of attacking the United States. But if what this analyst says is true, then China's actually behind the North Korean attack. Quang lied. After all these years, he lied to me. How long have the Chinese been preparing for this moment?"
"Well," Defense rumbled, tired of the silence, "what do you think you've accomplished?"
State stirred herself out of her private thoughts. She blinked once at the man behind the big ornate desk.
"Do you believe him?"
"Who, that kid?"
"He's a first-rate analyst with the Intelligence Council. I had my people check him out after we spoke together on the phone earlier today."
"If he's right, we're in deep shit," said Defense. "Whatever we do, we're in for it."
Strangely, State smiled. Defense had seen that smile before. It usually preceded a beheading.
"I read somewhere," State said slowly, "that the Chinese symbol for crisis is a combination of two other symbols. One for danger, the other for opportunity."
"Opportunity."
"The president's mishandled this crisis badly, going off to San Francisco to show what a macho strongman he is."
Wondering where she was heading, Defense chose his words carefully.
"If that kid is right, and San Francisco is nuked,
Parkinson becomes president."
Defense huffed.
"He's a horse's ass."
"Yes, isn't he?"
"I had him bundled off to the National Redoubt this morning when this missile business came up."
"So he's safe?"
Defense nodded and muttered, "Too bad."
"Not at all," State countered.
"You wouldn't want the Speaker of the House to be president, would you?"
"God, no."
"Parkinson can be handled. He can be led."
"By you?"
"By us," State replied, her smile widening. "We can form a sort of committee."
"A triumvirate, like an ancient Rome after Julius Caesar's assassination." And he remembered from history that the triumvirate quickly broke apart as Octavian bested the other two and made himself Rome's first emperor, Augustus Caesar.
State nodded absently, her mind already obviously looking ahead.
If the president dies in a nuclear attack on San Francisco,
Parkinson wouldn't have the guts to order a counterstrike on North Korea.
"I think you're wrong, Lonnie."
"My name's Lionel, and she knows it," Defense growled inwardly. But he kept his peak off his face and asked innocently, "Wrong?"
"I think we can get Parkinson to give the attack order while he's right there in the National Redoubt, snug and safe from attack. I think I could convince him."
Defense shook his head. "So we clobber North Korea, and the Chinese clobber us."
"No, Lonnie, you don't understand," State said. "We hit China right away with a preemptive